Okay. Hi, everyone. So, let's begin with just a sitting. This will be a lightly guided meditation. We'll do dual awareness practice. Focusing on breath and sounds in the environment. And there will be some substantial periods of just silence and just from time to time, check in. Are you present? Are you feeling the breath? Are you able to hear the sounds around you? I think there are some people in the group who I think find it or just have a very, very strong preference for sitting with guided meditations, even when we're not sitting together on Tuesday nights. Like to listen to recordings of other Tuesday night classes or of other guided meditations out there. And that's totally fine. But I encourage you, if you're one of the people who feels like, if I'm sitting, I want a guided meditation to go along with, I encourage you to begin to weave into your practice gradually, periods of sitting where there is no guidance of any kind. It's a real, I think, important like skill or art to develop to be able to sort of lead yourself into a practice, lead yourself into meditation. And I think it's interesting to see what kind of challenges come up. Like, what are the difficult spots? And actually, I'll just say, I think one of the things that can happen when we begin a meditation period is like, okay, I'm meditating. Like we get into this mental mode of I'm doing something, an activity that's and that itself can actually present a challenge when it comes to sitting because it kind of tightens up the mind, tightens up the body. You start to feel like it's something like a big deal, and maybe you'll notice that in yourself. And then if you do notice that, just say, okay, interesting, making a big deal of this, making a big effortful big deal of this, and just, can I just let that go? Can I just be here without the need to make a big to do about this, so tonight, and I think once in a while I'm going to do these sittings where I'm going to offer just a lot less guidance than I sometimes do, and I'll still continue to offer guided meditations that have like full guidance and all that, but as I'm thinking ahead to like the possibility of us doing retreats together. I don't know what people thought, but like when we do a retreat together, I'm not going to lead any guided meditations, right? They're just going to be, that would get really tiresome. It's also thinking like practically, like to the moment when some of us get together for a retreat, whether it's online or in person, that will be a moment where we will just need to know what to do when the bell rings and we just start sitting, right? Okay. So please get into a comfortable position. Just feel the physical presence of your body sitting here, supported by whatever you're sitting on, or the weight of the body, the mass of the body. Checking in with how the mind, The heart and the body are all doing. Just taking note. Okay. The mind is, preoccupied with this or that. The body, I feel tension here, there. I feel these other kinds of sensations. Just notice. Taking stock, checking in. And then gradually, gently, not making a big to-do about it, just let your awareness mosey on over to the breath. And you should feel free to follow the breath wherever feels easiest, most natural for you. So follow the breath in the nose or the chest or the belly, or perhaps you like to follow the breath in like all three spots at the same time, just the whole sort of pattern of the breath at once, whatever feels just most natural for you. Let your awareness gently settle on the sensations of the breath. Just let your awareness rest on the breath, just like your body is resting on the seat that you're on. Like I said, sometimes we can, and just unconsciously, just inadvertently, like approach meditation as this big activity, something special that we're doing. But that in itself can cause the meditation to feel tighter than necessary, more effortful than necessary. We're just sitting here. And just gently being aware of how the breath feels. Nothing special. And remember that the breath doesn't have to feel any particular way. It can be slow and deep, or shallow and quick, or uneven. Just let the breath feel whatever way it feels, no right or wrong. Last week, someone spoke of their breath feeling tight, strained, and that's very common, not at all unusual. If you feel like there's tension in the way you breathe, that somehow you can't help but exert some kind of control over the breath, just notice that as part of the experience of your breath. Gently, not fighting that tension, just noticing how it feels, being aware of the sensation. It may not feel pleasant, but just that's part of the experience. Just let it be what it is. The mind will inevitably wander. So when you notice that that's happened, just acknowledge that fact and gently Bring your awareness back to the breath. And while you continue to follow the breath in this way, make room in your awareness for the sounds in the space around you. You can feel the sensations of the breath. You can also hear whatever sounds there may be in the space around you. If it's difficult keeping sounds and breath in your awareness simultaneously, just gently in a leisurely way move your awareness from breath to sounds, back to the breath, just toggling your awareness back and forth. And once in a while, maybe you'll realize, oh, I can hold both in awareness simultaneously. But it's okay if you can't. Just see what it's like. So for the rest of this meditation period, just keep following the breath and listening to the sounds around you. You might think of your awareness as being, very roughly divided at thirds. So a third of your awareness on the breath, a third of your awareness on sounds, and then the final third just aware of whatever else may arise in your experience, sensation of the body, perceptions, thoughts, feelings, just whatever, just sometimes we give ourselves a hard time. We think meditation isn't feeling the way we think it should. It isn't calm enough, quiet enough, or focused enough. We judge ourselves for not doing it right or being good at it. Do you notice any thoughts like that, which are often accompanied by feelings of frustration or tension or impatience? Just Notice that as part of your experience. Don't buy into those thoughts. Just notice them as thoughts. Let your experience, let this moment be just the way it is, whatever it may feel like. It can be a relief to take the attitude. No striving, no judgment. This moment is just the way this moment is. That's it. Just be aware of that. Remember that if you're experiencing any tension or discomfort, anything unpleasant, it doesn't need to be a problem. So often we compound discomfort by tensing up around it. Maybe you can notice yourself doing that. Just notice that reaction and see if you can just let Whatever you're feeling, just be there as it is. Okay, that's a little bit of tension. Or maybe it's a lot of tension. It's just what it is. Let it be, feel it. Don't add to it by fighting it, tensing up. Even when the body feels tight, our awareness can be soft and spacious. As the silence stretches on, as the sitting goes on, do you notice any wondering about how much longer we might have? Any desire to sort of orient yourself in time to figure out how long we have to go? Just notice that. Notice the way you're trying to get a fix on your experience. Figure out where you are, how much more there is. Just notice that. Notice how it feels and come back to the breath. The richness of this moment outside of time. Just this, exactly what you're feeling right now. Just to feel that, to be aware of that. That's all we need to do. No need to go anywhere else to make anything happen. Okay. That's good for tonight. Feel free to move. Be comfortable. Get yourself a drink. This isn't the thing that I want to talk about, but just this small point. I don't know how many of you have maybe experienced this tonight or on some other evening we've been together or just in a sitting that you've done on your own. But there are times where like you get into a space and sitting that feels so pleasant, right? So settled, so soft, so easy. And then you want to hold on to it. And you want to like, keep that moment going. And then you realize, oh, there's a kind of like already like a certain like stickiness or grippiness, that wants to keep that feeling going. And you realize that just in that very desire, you're already losing your grip on it. That's just gonna happen. It's just like when if you find yourself doing that, and then you say, God, why am I doing this? I'm like, it just happens. It's just part of it. And that will pass too, right? And so over and over, we find ways, I think, to judge whether or not we're doing it right or wrong. And the weird thing is, like, I mean, people say there's no way to do it wrong. And in a very deep way, that's really true. And the only way to, like, the way to do it right is to try to give up your idea that there's some right or wrong way to do it and just to be with what's going on. That is way easier said than done. That's why it actually takes a lot of practice. But part of what we're doing when we practice is wearing down that part of ourselves that wants to do it right. It's always like looking for the right way to do it. If I can just find that trick, if I can just find the right technique, if I just do it right. And it takes a long time for that part of us to wear down. And hence the paradox of it being simultaneously effortless and incredibly effortful. There is no way around that. Like it takes a lot of practice to get to the place where you can give up the effortfulness. So I actually just want to I wanted to talk about I guess something it's just concepts. I want to talk about concepts, ideas, ideas, and the way the like what the connection between concepts and meditation practice. And I think to do that, I want to share briefly a text that I've talked about before. But hold on a second. But I want to focus on, hold on, it's not working here. Okay. I want to focus on a little bit of this text that I've actually usually just kind of quickly go over, like pass over. So this is a text written by Jack Kornfield, wonderful meditation teacher. And it's his kind of like, his colloquial version of the Heart Sutra. And it's a description of the kind of insight that we can get through meditation practice, insight into the nature of reality and into the nature of the self. I just want to focus on like a line that's about two-thirds of the way through, but just as a kind of refresher, I thought I'd read the whole text, especially for those of you who might not have seen this before. It will also give some context to the line that I want to focus on. So the Buddha described human life as comprising a series of ever-changing processes, a physical process, a feeling process, a memory and recognition process, a thought and reaction process, and a consciousness process. For those of you who are familiar with the Heart Sutra or with other Buddhist texts, this is Jack Kornfield's way of describing the way that part of what we realize in meditation is that the human self is made up of five aggregates. The Sanskrit word for that is skandhas. And actually, the literal translation of the word skanda is like just heaps. So what we think of as this unified self is actually just made up of different sort of aggregates, different component parts, like the parts of us that have to do with our physical nature, our feelings, our concepts, our consciousness, all that. So Buddhist meditation is really a practice of deconstruction. It's a practice of so we're seeing how what seems unified and solid is actually composed of. It's a lot like, there's a reason that a lot of Buddhists, there's a lot of people who make connection with Buddhism and modern physics. It's the same thing that physics is, shows us about the nature of physical reality. And what seems solid is actually, as we know, always just is moving energy. And most of it, like the vast majority of what we see around us, is actually empty space through which tiny particles and energy fields are moving. But they seem so solid, right? And that's just, of course, what the self feels like too. Anyway, these processes are dynamic and continuous without a single element we can call our unchanging self. We ourselves are a process woven together with life without separateness. We arise like a wave out of the ocean of life, our tentative forms still one with the ocean. As our meditation practice deepens, we're able to see the movement of our experience. We note feelings and see that they last for only a few seconds. We pay attention to thoughts and see that they are ephemeral, that they come and go, uninvited, like clouds. And this is the experience that Rudy described having last week during our meditation together, and just feeling like a thought that she, was kind of a big deal, was kind of maybe a troublesome thought. And during meditation last Tuesday, she like it was kind of interesting and even a little bit, disorienting and odd that like it just wasn't that big a deal. It just she could see that it flowed into her mind and flowed out of her mind, and it didn't have to be this kind of heavy thing that captured her attention, right? We bring our awareness to the body and see that its boundaries are porous. In this practice, our sense of the solidity of a separate body or a separate mind starts to dissolve. And suddenly, unexpectedly, we find out how much at ease we are. As our meditation deepens still further, we experience expansiveness, delight, and the freedom of our interconnectedness with all things, with the great mystery of our life. Healing comes in touching this realm of non-separation. We discover that our fears and desires, our attempts to enhance and defend ourselves, are based on delusion, a sense of separateness that is fundamentally untrue. And so this whole text of Cornfield's is trying to explain what Buddhists mean by the word emptiness. The Sanskrit word is shunyata, but this is understood to be the core insight of the nature of reality, and especially the nature of the self, that the Buddha realized upon awakening. So the reason we call him the Buddha, which just means the one who was awake, the awakened one, is that he woke up to this realization about the nature of reality, that what seems solid, and because it's solid, is also separate from other things, right? Is not. That we're just a bunch of processes. We're energy, and that everything is in flux. They're just thoughts, they're feelings, they're sensations, they're moments of awareness, moments of consciousness. Even the awareness we cultivate in meditation practice is just another process, right? It's just something that arises, and sometimes we have it and sometimes we don't. And that it's not necessarily just one unchanging self that is having all these thoughts and experiences, right? But the thing that the bit that I often pass over when I talk about this text is this one, this little bit right here. Okay, right here. We bring our awareness to the body and see that its boundaries are porous. In this practice, our sense of the solidity of a separate body or a separate mind starts to dissolve. Now, I think, I'm going to stop sharing so I can see you guys. Okay. Now, I think this whole text is kind of mind-blowing. Just like I think the whole, like the thing that the Buddhists like realize is mind-blowing. And so like, Yeah, so all of it's kind of crazy when you really, when you think about it in a certain way. But I often pass over that bit about like the body starts to seem porous and the solidity of the body starts to dissolve because just because I think actually for some people, I don't know, I'm just maybe just imagining this, but I think like so for some people they'd be like, what? Like particularly to that, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean that the body starts to feel porous or that that it could the sense of solidity could start to dissolve, you know? Like yeah, maybe if I'm on acid, I could relate to that, but like what am I talking about in meditation? Like how does that even, you know? So I want to actually like sort of bring that little bit of it. I want to focus on that little bit and sort of bring it down to earth without, I think, it losing its mysterious, amazing, like weird quality, you know, as a way of sort of getting at how our relationships to concepts can change through meditation practice. So, take your right hand and just hold it in front of yourself and look at it, okay? And just think aloud. I mean, not just think, either think or say aloud to yourself, this is a hand. Like, and this is my hand, right? And as you think that or say that, like, you know, feel, right? What it's like to have this hand, feel the physical sort of presence, aliveness of your hand. Okay. All right. So that's what it feels like to have a hand and to, like, you know, acknowledge that. So we brought our awareness to our hand, right? And we can feel that. All right. Now, just put your hands down, comfortable position. Actually, like, and yeah, just sort of make sure you have like, registered in your mind what it felt like to really regard your hand in that way. Now, put your hand down and just get comfortable. And you don't have to, but I think it can be really effective if you close your eyes when you do this step. And now, what I'd like you to do is to bring your awareness to that same part of your body, your hand. But instead of thinking about it as your hand, just let your awareness rest, like it did on your breath. Let's just let your awareness rest on the sensations that are present in this part of the body. And let our breath, let's let our awareness rest there for just a little bit, really taking our time. And the sensations can you feel in the palm area, the back of the hand? Just let your awareness just dwell, rest here. Just noticing whatever kinds of sensations, feelings arise. Just noticing the sensations as sensation. No need to label them, name them, just feeling what they're like and how they're changing moment by moment. Okay. This exercise could be even more effective if we allowed our awareness to dwell there longer and longer, but I think this might be long enough. But just, can you feel the difference between how it felt to regard your hand when you're looking at it and thinking about it as a hand, and the way that it felt as we just let our awareness dwell there without having to name it, label it? Think about it, just feeling the sensation. Some of you maybe not. But This difference in how we experience the hand is the difference between how we experience things under the rule of concepts versus how we experience things sort of without the mediation of concepts necessarily, you know. And for me, when I look at my hand and think about it as my hand, one thing that becomes very sort of prominent in my experience, even at a kind of sensory sensation level, is the experience of the boundaries, right? I can sort of feel the boundedness of this as an entity, as a thing, right? And when I close my eyes and just let my awareness rest in this part of the body, the sensations just seem much more sort of spread out in space, you know, much more like there's not necessarily a clear outline. It's like if there's a hand-like, you know, quality to it, but it's not, there's no like lines in my mind. There's no delineation. There's no, and that experience can become even more diffuse and dispersed and much more like just energy rather than like, oh, this is what I'm feeling in these fingers or in the palm or the, so. Some of you have probably experienced this in body scans that we've done, or even like the BBSS practice we did, where you start to feel like, you know, your awareness isn't bounded by the body, but it's just more diffuse throughout the space that you're in, the room as a whole. But so I think, you know, what Kornfield is really talking about in the passage that we just looked at very briefly. So I think that something that sounds kind of really far out, but actually is also really simple. It's just the experience of our physical reality, where it isn't necessarily sort of bounded by the concepts that we might use to make sense of it. What concepts do is give a certain kind of boundary and a sense of solidity to what we label with those concepts, you know. For those of you who are sort of philosophically inclined, or I know there's some people who are academics here, right? But it's concepts reify, right? The things that we refer to them with. Reify is a word that comes from the Latin word res, R-E-S, which is the word for thing. So concepts thingify. They turn what they refer to into objects or into things, you know. It can do that with very simple things like parts of our body, right? But it can also do that with our experience of self. Think about the difference between the experience of sort of being gripped by a thought because we think it matters so much to us because like our identity is at stake, you know, oh my God. Like, what am I going to do about that argument? Like, what am I going to say to that person? I should have said this, right? Like, you know, versus, oh, just noticing. Yeah, there's an image of that encounter. There's that thought. There's some sensations in the body, right? So part of what we're doing when we meditate is de-reifying experience, right? We are getting in touch with experience not so mediated by the concepts that we ordinarily use to make sense of our experience, of our lives, right? There is a kind of recurrent idea in especially Zen literature, but I think it runs through a lot of different strands of Buddhism, that deep meditation practice can enable us to experience things beyond all concepts, right? Or concept-free kind of experience. I'm honestly not sure that's possible. You know, I think because like I think that the grip of concepts can become much softer, much less, and also they can become sort of loose enough where our ordinary way of making sense of our lives can become sort of like stirred up destabilized, can become fresher in a way. But if we didn't have any concepts at all, I'm not sure we'd have anything that we could call an experience, period. And I think that is something that is, I can understand why Buddhists have long talked about the possibility of concept-free experience, because there are times where it feels like you are seeing so vividly, so freshly, that it's like it doesn't seem like anything's mediating. But I think there still are. There's still this, In any case, I think that's a philosophical debate. That's not really important. The idea is that part of what we're doing is like loosening the grip that like concepts, especially stale concepts, have over our experience, right? And you had the experience of like, you're meditating, maybe you're meditating outside already, or you're inside and you're meditating, right? And then, it's a nice sitting and you go outside and the colors just seem just a little bit brighter, right? The sky, the visual perception feels just a little bit sharper, right? And so it's like, I think that's like a measure of that kind of effect that I'm talking about, where we're not just saying, oh yeah, that's another tree. Oh yeah, that's another flower, right? But instead, before subsuming that thing that we're perceiving under a concept, we're actually just seeing it. It's like, it's suchness, more vividly, just on its own. Not just so quickly as we want to do, putting things into their conceptual boxes, and we do this not just with trees and flowers and clouds, but we do with each other, right? And we have conversations with people, and we've already kind of like pigeonholed them into, we know the kind of things you're going to say. We have like an idea what this person's like, and we're not really there. We're not present to the freshness of this moment with them. And we so often box other people even into these ideas, these pre-given ideas, the prejudged ideas we have about them. And so, just like I was, asking about the experience of looking at the trees or the nature and seeing its vividness, that's why we can also have sometimes after, when we're sitting, our practice is consistent and strong, right? We can just have like fresher experiences with other people, where our understanding of them isn't so scripted, but also our responses to them aren't so scripted either, right? And fresh possibilities are possible, where we can really hear someone, where they're coming from, instead of already like having an idea, or worse yet, just going super canned, right? And saying, yeah, how you doing? I'm good. Yeah, thanks. Okay, have a good day, right? So many of our interactions are scripted, and all these things end up buffering us from life, right? From experience as it is. And so, really what texts like the Heart Sutra are talking about are at some level, like, what would it be like to experience reality, experience ourselves, experience other people, experience the world, right? Not always sort of boxed up, categorized, conceptualized. What would it be like this to just like, let the concepts be light, lightly there, but not so heavy, and not be the primary thing that we're interacting with. So, famous line in the Heart Sutra is form is emptiness, emptiness is form, right? You could think of form as the realm, the experience of concepts, conceptualization, right? And emptiness as not a voidness, but rather that which lies beyond, right, concepts. And what lies beyond concepts is just energy. It's just interconnection. And so, where is the boundary of your body and the environment? When you have an idea of the body, that boundary is very clear, because that goes along with the idea of a body, right? But when you're just experiencing the body, the level of sensation, where is that boundary? How about another experience to try to like, I know this is the kind of thing, like, either it makes sense or it doesn't. Either like you relate to it or it doesn't. It's hard. And if you don't relate to it, don't worry, you will. But here's another way of sort of like sometimes when we're sitting, right, and a car goes by, maybe your house, outside your house or your apartment or something, right, and you hear, that sound. But actually, like, or like a bell rings, or something happens. You hear some kind of sound occurs when you're meditating. Is that sound outside of you? Is it inside of you? Right? Where is the boundary between inside and outside? I'm not asking this at an intellectual level. I'm actually like, what's the experience of it? Have you had the experience where you hear like a sound just happens, and it's just there? And it seems as much inside you as it is outside you, right? So to say, like, I'm hearing this sound outside, that's when we start to make conceptual sense of hearing. Like, of course, when I hear things, I'm hearing objects that are outside my body, right? Unless I'm hearing my own breathing or something. But when you're just experiencing sounds, not unfiltered by conceptualization, the literal experience of those sounds, it's not clear if that sound is outside you or inside you. And that's why, you can have experience. It's just so clear. And you can feel like the sound is just, this moves through the whole body, right? It's just there. It's so crystal clear. So, I'm bringing this up because I think sort of being aware of the way in which concepts sort of structure our experience, but also especially kind of like the word I used was buffer. It's almost like it acts as a filter or like a kind of screen between ourselves and the vividness of life, right? Being aware of that, I think, is something that can really sort of enliven one's sort of mindfulness practice. And you can start to see, like, oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, like, I'm thinking about, my body, and think about and feel how that changes your experience of your body. When, I had an eating disorder, right? I had a seriously sort of screwed up, sort of internalized image of my body. So when I thought about my body, that image was so powerful, it completely edged out everything, including the reality of what I was seeing in a mirror, right? Like, I was incredibly, like dangerously thin, but what I saw was excess weight, right? And that shows like the power of these kinds of concepts to let's just say distort our experience, and so when Buddhists talk about delusion, right, as being the thing that Buddhist practice is all about, it's partly talking about the overpowering grip that concepts have upon us. We need concepts to survive. We're not imagining life without concepts, but can we have a softer, lighter relationship with them so that they don't dominate our experience? And so that basically we're only interacting with concepts rather than with the things themselves, Okay. Oh, wow. Jeez. 8:33. I'll stop here. This is something that, again, like with everything, it's just, we touch on different ways, different angles. So it's not something we're going to leave behind. I don't know, any kind of like questions, like, whoa, like it's something you really would like addressed right away. I don't want to just say, okay, goodbye, but if you have to go, obviously, please do. I'm sorry to hold people late, but I can stay for just like a few minutes. And if there's anything that people would like to ask about what I just said. I think the place where concepts that I'm talking about can really is like even our idea of the kind of person we are, right? How would I, what kind of joke would I make in this situation? Or what kind of person am I when I walk in this room? Or what kind of person am I when I interact with this person? And so often, when we're under the grip of these concepts we have about ourselves, we can feel a tightness, a kind of scriptedness, right? And sometimes this can happen, like with meditation, there's a kind of spontaneity that can appear when we're not so gripped by them. And that's one of the most wonderful things that can happen because of meditation practice, right? We can feel this, like, oh, yeah, it doesn't really matter what kind of person I was a second ago. Right now, this, there's a freshness. Like, I can act in whatever way this moment might call for, or whatever I feel like doing, Painful thing about meditation is precisely the same thing, that it makes us more and more aware of the way in which we're gripped by all these kinds of concepts, And so this is why meditation can be really difficult, especially in the first few years, where what you start to feel is like, wow, I am more aware than I ever was of how cramped my mind feels, how much noise there is and how much under the grip of that noise, how governed I am by that noise. And this is a period that's very delicate, where a lot of people drop out of meditation practice because at first it feels like calming, and then suddenly you start to see, oh wow, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I don't know if I really wanted to see that. That's not does not feel But it's moving through that one starts to, like, get it be, experience a transformed relationship to all these kind of things I'm labeling concepts, Okay, maybe that's good. Okay, so if you have any questions, you can even feel free to email me. I'd be happy to touch on them at some, next week, or just come next time and ask them. Okay. Sorry for blabbing, like, kind of so energetically. I didn't mean to. All right. Okay. I didn't do this last week and it haunted me. Can we sit for 30 seconds in silence together before we go? Okay. All right. I thought, oh my God, I didn't do that. I felt bad. Okay. So it's just 30 seconds, I promise. It really is wonderful sitting with all of you. Thank you for being here. Good night.
Thank you, Bernie. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much. This is